Welcome to the State of Business with the Ohio Society of CPAs. I'm Jessica Salerno, Senior Content Manager at OSCPA, and this is the show where we bring you the latest news impacting the business and accounting world from top experts. And after you've finished this episode, please rate and review us on whatever podcast app you're using to listen. I'm joined by Scott Wiley, OSCPA CEO and President, and Margaret Finley, the Society's Diversity and Inclusion Strategist, to discuss the Society's commitment to end racism and help create a business environment that offers equal opportunity to all. On June 12th, we announced an action plan of three steps covering board and CEO leadership, organizational commitment, and an advancement of public policy. You can read more about the details of this commitment at the link in the show notes. And during this discussion, we'll touch on the impact of that commitment, the high emotions surrounding these issues, how accounting needs to evolve when it comes to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and much more. So, Scott and Margaret, thank you for joining me today. And to kick things off, Scott, can you tell me more about the commitment that the Society made on June 12th?
Sure. Yeah, so for a number of years, quite frankly, decades, OSCPA has been engaged in a number of efforts focused on how do we make sure that this profession, which, you know, I like to call the opportunity profession, because it presents so many opportunities for those who are part of it to choose a rewarding career and down a multitude of paths. But the Society, for really the better part of 25 years, has been engaged in efforts to make sure we're presenting the profession to a more diverse audience, and trying to help do our part to make sure that this profession is an inclusive one that welcomes all who are a part of it. And, you know, that's really served as the basis for the work we've done in the areas of diversity, equity, and inclusion. But, you know, I think what really makes it different, Jessica, as an American society, let alone the Ohio Society of CPAs, we're at an inflection point in our nation, and certainly here in Ohio, and even in our profession. For a number of years, you know, there have been conversations about what could be done to try to move the needle, specifically related to how do we attract more Black CPAs to the profession. And I think we've got to recognize where we are. As a profession, for the last two decades, we have actually done a pretty good job of attracting people of color into the profession. In fact, you know, I heard a report from the AICPA, if over the last two decades, we had actually retained those CPAs of color, particularly Black CPAs, in the profession, that as a profession, we would be more representative of the nation. But the reality is we haven't. And that's for a multitude of reasons. But we've got to recognize that. So then when you put in context what's really been going on in our country for years and decades, but for what many in recent weeks and months has become just a groundswell and caused for this mass attention, I think that really put in perspective for certainly for me as the CEO, but I would say this organization, that it was time for us to step forward and exert some influence in ways that we perhaps hadn't yet done so. So our commitment was really about understanding as a profession who we are, who we serve as a client and community base, and recognizing as a profession that is grounded in upholding the public interest, we recognize that until all of the communities we serve can have equal opportunity and equal access to economic capital, that's just wrong. And that is in fact a form of racism. And so as an organization, we have pledged to do our part to make sure we are engaging our public policy apparatus to ensure that issues related to racial injustice are addressed, that as a profession, we are going to do our part to support Ohio-based organizations who are working on those issues, And as a profession, we have an army behind us of people who can do good, who want to be good, who want to get engaged on these issues. And that we recognize as the Ohio Society of CPAs, we have a role to play in helping convene that group of people. And so our commitment is about those things, about being good, doing good, and contributing to communities where CPAs are engaged as America's most trusted business advisors. And I'm proud to lead this organization as we undertake that commitment, but I also know we've got a lot of work to do, and it's one that we're excited to roll our sleeves up and get started on.
And Margaret, Scott just mentioned that we still have a lot of work to do. And with this commitment earlier this summer, how did that kind of, or did it change, you know, your perspective? You've spent your career in this space. Now that we've made this commitment and are working toward these goals, what does that mean for you?
Thanks for that question, Jessica. It just means that my job has got a lot more exciting, right? So I've been with the society now for several months, coming on last November, and I was excited with the work that the society was doing, and that really started back from a diversity and inclusion perspective around strategy, started back in 2016. But as Scott had mentioned, the society has been involved in diversity and inclusion for over a couple of decades just by sheer nature of the ACAP program. So for me, it's just another opportunity to collaborate and to convene thought leaders around diversity, equity, and inclusion, right? And how can we really come together to move that needle where it needs to be moved? So I don't consider it as more work for me per se, but more challenges that I am happy to engage in as I think about, you know, the whole notion around reckoning with racism. I'm just encouraged and I'm optimistic about what I'm seeing across the United States and even the world around allyship, right? And how people are coming together to say, we no longer can accept or stand for this. And people are raising their hands like never before. So where it can be very exhausting with the whole George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and all of the things that we've seen in the news, it's overwhelming, it's exhausting at times. But again, I'm encouraged with the number of CEOs stepping up and being courageous to say, I'm not going to stay silent on this subject, and we're going to do something and invest. And so, you know, when Scott announced that the society was going to commit $100,000 over the next 4 or 5 years, it just really warmed my heart, because to me, that is definitely moving from words to action. So that's very exciting for me.
You know, and Jessica, if I could follow up a little bit on what Margaret just said, I really think that's important how she framed it, that, you know, we see this as an opportunity, right? Clearly, you know, there's a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of anger, a lot of frustration over what we have seen going on all across our country. And it's gotten a lot more attention in recent months. But the reality is, this has been going on for some time. Right. And it really was a clarion call for me as the leader of this organization to say, what's going to be different this time? And the only way it's going to be different is if we choose to make it different. And that is where we pivot from this idea that we're facing a challenge to, in every challenge, we can seize and create an opportunity. And the opportunity we're choosing to seize and create is one to do and be better, to take the moment, to take the pain, to take the anger, to take the frustration, and to channel it and to make a difference. And the context by which this organization is going to make a difference is through the lens of trust, integrity, care, quality that it has by virtue of how it serves its communities, its clients, its companies, and really the broader public. And so to put that to work, to do good, to be good, I really think that opportunity for OSCPA is one where we can help position this profession out front in the business community. You know, I've been a part of a conversation with a number of our members who say, you know, OSCPA doesn't normally get involved in social issues. And I really think this is an opportunity for us to open our eyes that this is not a social issue. This is really a systemic issue that gets at so many different lenses. Yes, there are social issues attached. There are clearly issues related to the business community attached, right? And that's the nature by which this profession comes to it. But there are also issues related to how do we create a profession that is robust, dynamic, and continues to serve economic capital, which is becoming increasingly diverse in our nation, and certainly in Ohio. So not only are we doing this because it's the right thing to do, but because CPAs are the right people to help solve these issues. And I think that's important for us to say.
And I think this is something that you both touched on in the discussion so far. You mentioned that these topics can bring up a lot of strong emotions. It can make people uncomfortable. But Scott, like you mentioned, this is important because our members, the accounting profession, is uniquely positioned to help in this area. How do you think with the commitment that we've made and the decades of work that so far we've done in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space, what does that mean moving forward, keeping in mind that the profession is uniquely positioned to help with economic inequality issues like that?
Well, let me first address the point you raised. This is hard. At times, it's a little scary because we're charting a path and there's not a map for it. And Margaret knows this well. One of the reasons we brought Margaret on our team was not just to help us lead this work, but to really engage with the profession as they think about what their own DE&I efforts are and that journey looks like for them. So as we've gotten started, I've turned to Margaret to really help coach me, because it's been a little unnerving for me, because I know there are a variety of emotions in our own membership about this, and I respect that. I respect that. I do. But what I think about, Jessica, to the latter point of your question, why it's important for CPAs. So let's just talk about the facts. Let's talk about the data. I mentioned this a moment ago. We know that in our country, economic capital is becoming is being held by increasingly diverse populations. Fact. We know that in our country, we are undertaking the most significant demographic shift of any point in the history of our nation, both in terms of the shifting of populations from an age standpoint. I read data yesterday that the millennial population is now, in fact, the largest single population in our country. Certainly, our profession has been on a long journey and continues on it, as we now have a majority of our population in this profession that are female. Not in positions of leadership yet, but we are making progress. We still have important work to do in that regard. And then certainly, as we think in our state, in our nation, in our communities, we are seeing that as our population shifts in terms of racial and ethnic identities as well, that is also shifting in the businesses that we work with, that we serve, the nonprofits we volunteer for, and the communities that we're also engaging with. It is important for this profession, and it is quite frankly important for this economy, to have CPAs who not only understand and recognize that, but understand and recognize that ensuring that population has access to the best information, the best counsel, the best advice is going to be critical for our economy not only to recover, but to thrive once again. And we know that CPAs are those counselors, are those advisors, have that trust. We have got an obligation as a profession, and the Ohio Society is the voice of that profession, to help position CPAs to be relevant to be credible, and to be engaged in the issues of the day so that they can stay current with those clients, so they can engage with those next level of clients, but also so they can be seen for what they are: counselors, advisors, solution creators. And the problems we have in front of us are great. It will take all of the talent we can garner to address them. But it will also take people who are committed, committed to doing and being better. And this profession is one that for decades has been about those issues, doing and being better to help clients, companies, communities leverage data, look at the numbers to make more informed decisions. And here we are again to do that. I think that speaks highly of the people who are part of this profession, but I also think it speaks to their commitment to engage, and that's important.
And Margaret, going off of what Scott just mentioned, a commitment to engage, a commitment to what's going on right now, in conversations that you and I have had, you have mentioned to me a couple times, you know, this time feels different. How does it work with you mentioning that this time feels different than what you've experienced in the past, along with what Scott just mentioned, how the profession is uniquely positioned to fight this, to fight anti-racism?
Sure. So this time it's different because from my other experiences, because for the first time, and Scott and I have talked about this as well, and I shared it with him, I, as a Black woman, have been able to express my feelings around the topic openly, right? I had a meeting with Laura, who's on our executive management team, and we were talking about diversity and inclusion. And she was like, how's your day going? And it was at the height of everything, right? And I said, I'm not doing good today. And immediately she paused the meeting to say, hey, let's talk about it. What's on your mind? And we moved forward to talk about it. And then some 3 hours later, I knew that Laura had talked to Scott, because then Scott turned and sent a meeting or an email out to all staff to just, you know, convey and talk about what's going on and what we were as a society of how we're going to engage in conversation and be thoughtful around the subject and had empathy for the Black employees here at the society. And so as I share it with Scott and others, I've never been in an environment that has moved that swiftly, first of all, and that opened the door to being in a space of not comfortable for them, right? And then moving forward to have that conversation anyway. And so that's why I believe that this time feels different. One, for the support that I feel that I and my other fellow Black employees have received here at the society. Two, Scott's commitment as the CEO to tackle this and to be vulnerable, right? I think he's really been really vulnerable to say, I don't know, but I want to learn and I want to help. And then just all of the work that he did to assemble a town hall, meetings with our internal team to just talk about this and make the space free and non-judging has just been incredible for me, right? So, I mean, D&I is not new and equity is not a new conversation. It's been around for decades as well. But just the level of energy that I see from our CEO, Scott, and other CEOs, quite frankly, wanting to do something different is just, again, I say exciting and encouraging. And I'm hopefully optimistic that more companies will step up to put action behind the words, right, in the form of a commitment. And I know several that are doing that. But I just look forward to fast forwarding to another 12 months or a year to see where we are and have we really been successful in moving the needle as we are striving to do right now.
You know, Jessica, one of the things Margaret talks about is other leaders. And one of the things that's been really great to see and quite frankly has given us confidence that we're doing the right thing and that others are paying attention is in and around our state. We have been hearing from and quite frankly watching firm leaders and other corporate officers in our space engage and begin to move their people and their organizations on these issues and are joining with us in this effort. And they're doing it in a context that's right for their organization, and we respect that, but it's been great to see. And I think that's important to recognize that these topics are ones that really need folks to open dialogue with their people on. It's not just, hey, today we're going to do this and tomorrow we're going to do that. It needs to be a dialogue. And it was important for our organization, given our history on these issues, to not just talk, but to walk. And our commitment to action is putting a commitment behind our words, that we've said what's on our mind, we've said where we stand, but now it is important for us to engage with others and do the work. And I think that is very important. And certainly, you know, I've been very candid with our board leadership, with our staff team, and any I've talked about. The accountability that needs to be here is huge. And how we'll know we're really serious is if 2 and 4 and 6 and 8 and whatever number of months from now, we're still talking about these issues. We're still doing this work. Because it's real easy, and that's probably not a word I should use, to say these things now, to say these things in the month of June, and maybe even July. But here we are in August, and you know the coronavirus is creeping back in, and we've got 100 days to an election. So we've got a lot of things going on, school's about to start, that could capture our attention. And those things are important too. So we've got to be able to demonstrate we've got staying power, that we're not just talking about this when it was the politically correct or the national leading news story to talk about, but we're serious about the commitment we've made. And I want to make sure I'm voiced as the leader of this organization.
And I think, Scott, to that point, you know, you haven't talked about it, but I'll talk about it for you around just your leadership across the accounting profession and how you have influenced other leaders to step up and speak up, right, that perhaps wouldn't have before just by the sheer nature of the town hall that we that you led around standing against racism. And, you know, the reality is, and to be candid, we did receive some not so good feedback on that, right? Everyone is not on board with this conversation or the attention that I believe Scott is giving to it. And what I admire is your stick-to-itness to say, I hear you, I understand your perspective, however we're going to move forward, because I believe that is the right thing to do. And to that point, you know, I've read the feedback around folks reaching out to you to say thank you for the courage to bring this up, right, and for the courage to move us forward. So I would like for you just to share a little bit about, from a peer perspective, and those that have said thank you for standing up, if you don't mind, Scott.
When OSCPA first, you know, issued a statement following the death of George Floyd, and yeah, then we reached out with other business and firm colleagues in our community, and then we reached out to all of our high school and college student and young CPA members to talk about, you know, where our organization stood and our commitments. There was, you know, no one else doing that in our space. I would tell you, as I talked to more colleagues in national and other state organizations, and even firm leaders across our state, one of the things that I've really been proud of is, even if folks were slow to get their arms around this, that more and more are recognizing they have a role to play. And so I've tried to build a community where my peers and other leaders can feel like they're not alone. Because clearly stepping out on the branch when there's no one else out there, it's scary. And you don't know if it's going to break. But when you can bring others out and you can see that you've got a support network, that when you do get pushback, they're going to be there and give you, have you thought about this? Or it's okay, I experienced that too. That's important. And you know, when I think about the Ohio Society of CPAs, we're a community. We're a community of nearly 28,000 CPAs, accounting, finance professionals, and future accounting and finance professionals and CPAs in and around Ohio. And we stick together on the tough times, and we're there working together on the things that matter. And that community is resilient, and it's got staying power. And so I'm trying to model some of the efforts I'm doing with other leaders in our space and in the broader business community around the community that we've built here in Ohio for CPAs that's resilient, that's strong, that stands together, that outlines the challenges, but also helps create the opportunity. And it's been certainly an interesting journey, and it's one that's just getting started. And I've tried to make sure I'm listening to my Black colleagues as well, and to hear what they're working on and what they're going through and what they're saying. And it's been difficult to recognize my own biases, some conscious and some unconscious. But I think recognizing those is the only way that as a leader, I'll be able to work through those. None of us are perfect, and no one's looking for perfection. But now's the time to start, not the time to stop. Now's the time to keep going, not the time to check out. And building that network around me has given me the strength to do that.
And as we continue this work, continue the efforts that we've been making for years, and with the commitment that we made in June, I'm curious, what are you both most looking forward to when it comes to the future of the Ohio Society of CPAs in the diversity, equity, and inclusion space?
I am looking forward to, Jessica, the conversations and the evolving of understanding. I love what Scott said, that checking our bias, some conscious and some unconscious, right? And working through those. So even as a Black woman considered a minority, right? I have some biases, right? That I am very aware of. And even as the diversity and inclusion strategist here, right? None of us are perfect, right? And this is a journey, right? And it's a marathon, not a sprint to the finish line. So I'm most looking forward to the evolving conversations, the aha moments people will get, the awareness, the education, and the engagement. That's what really brings me alive and energy. It's just watching how people engage and evolve. And I'm realistic to understand that everyone will not stay on the journey. Everyone will not have the strength that Scott spoke about or the staying power. Some will feel this is just too much and I can't, right? And I'm okay with that because I am a firm believer is that you need to meet people where they are and you need to respect their decisions as to where they are and just be hopeful that they will come back around. So as I talk to members and organizations that we're consulting with around diversity, equity, inclusion, again, I'm just hopeful. I'm doing some work with one of our firms now, and I've had an opportunity to coach their CEO, and just his vulnerability and transparency has been it's been amazing to me, right? And one of the things that the CEO said to me is that, you know, Margaret, thank you because you make me feel comfortable in having the conversation. You're non-judging. You're a good listener. And I believe that's what it's going to take, right? You have to be willing to listen and not judge and have people experience be what it is, right? And then talk about all right, so here's where we are and how do we move forward? So again, a lot of work can feel overwhelming at times, but I'm just appreciative of the support here at the society, inside the society, and outside, and I'm just looking forward most to the journey.
You know, and just the thing for me that I'm most excited about is this organization's commitment to these issues. Really, Margaret talked about in 2016 that the diversity and inclusion, you know, strategic plan that our board adopted really recognized the society's engagement had really largely been at the what I will call pipeline level, the entry level, what we were doing to attract students, which is very important. But what's different now, particularly in these last 5 years, is how we are engaging the whole of the profession. This isn't just about recruiting a more diverse population in the profession. That's it. A part of it, but we've got work to do and an obligation to the whole profession. So, and there are people in the profession who care about these issues, and there are people in the profession who want to explore these issues, who want to be on this journey with us, who want to get and be and do better. And so I'm excited about the work we're doing because it involves the whole of the profession. It does not just presuppose that if we can attract more people, this problem will improve. I think the data bears out that that, in fact, is not the case. You know, I shared the point from the AICK that simply attracting more people of color to the profession doesn't mean they'll find it to be a welcoming environment and stay. So our work with firms and companies to help them explore these issues inside of their workforces, to think about these from a lens of how they create a workplace culture that really fits with their vision for their own future, but also for how it helps them create a competitive advantage and how it helps them be a place where people want to be. That's what's got me excited because we're not just talking about doing good. We're bringing others along in that process with us. And I think that's important. If there are ways that we can help you engage in this conversation in a way that's meaningful for you, whatever place you're coming from, right? There's no, I'm far enough along, I'm not, there's no good, there's no right, there's no wrong, there's no bad. We want to engage as many CPAs and business leaders in this conversation and this work as we can, because together we can do this. Together, we can make this time different. And that's a big part of why, you know, not only we brought Margaret in to help our members and our businesses do that, but to help us. So certainly Margaret, myself, and others on our team, we're committed to engaging in those discussions to make this time different.
Thank you to Scott and Margaret for joining us to talk more about our commitment to D&I. Expect more episodes covering these critical issues in the future. And please, let me know what you thought of the episode. What do you think needs to be done to advance D&I in the profession? Let me know at jsalerno, J-S-A-L-E-R-N-O, at ohiocpa.com. And don't forget to rate and review us on whatever podcast app you're using. Thanks for listening.